Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. First on the docket, Derek Chauvin wants to question jurors, and Chad DeBell is not going to make jury service. Cash Gernon's father has been arrested. Michael Avenatti has a sentencing coming up. Wait till you hear what his attorneys are arguing. A good Samaritan suffers a terrible fate. And a guy who chopped up his girlfriend on his Tinder date says, well, I'm not really sorry. And our dumb criminal contestant of the day. And a recap of our contestants for the dumb criminal contestant winner of the week. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button and hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. Now, as I mentioned the other day, I'm supposed to be going out of the country, but we'll see if that's actually going to happen. Because of the time of this filming, Turks and Caicos has yet to approve my travel authorization, and you cannot get in touch with anybody. So maybe I'll be in the studio, maybe I'll be in a beautiful suite overlooking a beautiful beach in Turks and Caicos, but please join us because we'll still be doing the show. All right, straight to the docket now. Derek Chauvin wants to question the jurors. That's right. As everybody should know by now, Derek Chauvin was convicted back in April of second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and manslaughter. And he now has sentencing coming up on June 25th. His attorney, Eric Nelson, has filed a motion for a new trial, which is going to be denied. More than likely, this motion for questioning the jurors will be denied as well, because the judge in the case, Judge Cahill, has already ruled on a lot of these issues that are already been resolved. So there's not a whole lot more to do. However, Mr. Nelson is doing his job. And if you do not raise the issue at the trial court level and get a denial of that motion, you cannot appeal that issue for the first time if it was never raised in the trial court. So that's why you see defense attorneys filing motions objecting. If you don't object to the evidence coming in, it's basically deemed waived. You don't have an appellate issue at that point. So you have to object. You have to raise the issues because you can't do it the first time on appeal. So the word impeach, that means to call into question the integrity or validity of the jury's verdict. You often sometimes hear that of a witness. They were impeached, where it basically said, they were questioning the integrity of their testimony. Under Minnesota rules of criminal procedure, a defendant can ask the court for a hearing to investigate possible juror misconduct. And that's what Mr. Nelson is requesting on behalf of Derek Chauvin. And this goes back to an old case from the 1960s, Schwartz v. Minneapolis Suburban Bus Company, where there was an issue regarding the bias of a jury. The court held in that Schwartz case that an inquiry could take place. These type of hearings don't usually take place because once a jury verdict rules, unless you can come up with some hard evidence that maybe somebody was in fact biased, it's very difficult to do so because jurors are not going to come running up to you saying, hey, I'm biased. Well, this case is a little different. As you may recall, several of the jurors went on TV and explained how they reached their decision. And basically, it kind of sounded like they didn't really look at the evidence that closely, but that's their decision. One of the jurors also stated that he had never been to a BLM rally in Minneapolis. He just failed to mention that, oh, by the way, I went to the rally in Washington, D.C. Maybe he answered the question straightforward. However, during the process of voir dire, jurors, potential jurors, are always asked, if there's something that maybe we didn't ask the right question about, please tell us. I think the fact that maybe you didn't go to a Minneapolis rally, but you went to the one in D.C., may have been something that the defense probably should have been made aware of. I personally think jurors have that duty to disclose that information. And if they don't, the punishment should be on them, which the remedy ultimately would be a new trial. I don't see Judge Cahill doing that in this particular situation, but like I said, Derek Chauvin's attorney has to do this to make sure that he can raise these appeal issues. So Derek Chauvin wants to question jurors, and Chad Daybell will not be a juror. His daughter returned the summons that he received from the 7th Judicial District for the County of Madison, State of Idaho, to appear for jury service. She returned it saying that, well, he's incarcerated and the address that they sent it to is in Fremont County, not Madison County. And by the way, he's in custody. So his daughter, at least she is a very responsible person because she didn't want a warrant to go out for his arrest for not showing up for jury duty. So hats off to Emma Daybell Murray, Mr. Daybell's daughter, who wanted to make sure he didn't get in any more trouble, well, obviously, than he already is. All right. Next on the docket, Cash Gernon. Remember we talked about him just the other day, yesterday, in fact. He was the 4-year-old boy that was found brutally murdered on a residential Dallas street last month after he had been kidnapped from a house. Darren Brown, who's 18 years old, has been charged with abducting Cash from the home of Trevor Gernon's girlfriend and killing him. Now, Trevor Gernon is the father of Cash Gernon. He was arrested just yesterday on possession of a controlled substance, 2 counts of unauthorized use of a motor vehicle, basically stole somebody's car, and fraud. Now, nothing would indicate that he had anything to do with the death of his son, Cash Gernon. And I hope this isn't the kind of situation where he basically is feeling as though his whole world is coming down. He has nothing to lose. So let's go on a little bit of a crime spree, if it is drug-related type of issues. Heart goes out to him, and hopefully he can get some good representation to present some mitigating circumstances in this particular case. All right, next on the docket, remember Michael Avenatti? And you know what they say, when somebody's star rises that fast, it's going to come crashing down just as quick. Well, that's pretty much what happened to Michael Avenatti. And now he is facing sentencing as it relates to his extortion case that he had in New York City. As you may recall, he was representing a client against Nike, basically stating that they had been paying coaches illegally, bribes for the coaches to have their teams wear Nike uniforms. Mr. Avenatti allegedly, and the jury believed it, saw that this was an opportunity for him to make a few bucks and basically told Nike that he's going to go to the press if you don't basically pay me millions and millions of dollars. And of course, I will come in and supervise the audit to make sure you're doing everything correct for that fee of millions and millions of dollars. Well, Nike picked up the phone to the United States Attorney's Office, and the FBI came in, and guess what? He has now been convicted at trial. And in the federal system, you get a pre-sentence investigation report, and you get to file a sentencing statement where you tell the court what sentence you believe is appropriate. And in this particular case, Mr. Avenatti's attorneys are stating that he should spend basically little to no time in custody because, after all, Judge, he has suffered. He has been made a laughingstock in the public and by former President Trump, and that he is so famous that he will forever be ridiculed. And therefore, it took 33 pages to say, please don't send him to prison for any greater than 6 months. Throughout their brief, they filed some other examples where somebody only spent 24 months in custody and only 12 months on home release, and they attempted to extort over $200 million. So, you know, let's put it in perspective, Judge. We'll see what the court is going to do, but I somehow don't think that Mr. Avenatti is going to receive in-home detention. Now, as you may also recall, Mr. Avenatti has some other matters pending in the state of California, other criminal matters, as well as other matters regarding his law license for allegedly misappropriating client settlement funds that should have been paid to the client, but he kept for himself because he was living on a huge lifestyle that he obviously could not afford. We will bring you Mr. Avenatti's sentence when it takes place in late June. Next on the docket, a good Samaritan suffers a terrible fate. The defendant in this particular case, Shay Raymond, was arrested on Tuesday for allegedly trying to kidnap his ex-girlfriend, a woman by the name of Jenny Downs, on June 6. He was also arrested in connection with the murder of Roberto Cojenes Fletes, who tried to intervene. So now Mr. Raymond faces 6 felony charges, including murder, kidnapping, criminal threats, injuring a girlfriend, first-degree residential burglary with persons present, and possession of a firearm by a felon. Raymond allegedly went to Downs' home on Sunday and struggled with her when Roberto Cojenes Fletes attempted to intervene, according to the prosecutors. When Mr. Fletes attempted to intervene, he was fatally shot by the suspect. As the district attorney noted, it's especially tragic when a good Samaritan becomes a victim. Our respects go out to Mr. Fletes and his family. That's truly a sad situation. Somebody trying to do the right thing, and a bad guy does something super stupid and now creates a situation where he's going to spend the rest of his life in prison. And a good Samaritan, someone trying to do a good act, a good deed to protect somebody, winds up deceased. Sad, sad story. Before we continue with the guy who chopped up his Tinder date, let's take a quick recess. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever, but if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship, you're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket, the guy who chopped up his Tinder date says, well, I'm not sorry. Aubrey Traill was sentenced to death for the 2017 disappearance of Sydney Loof. The sentence was announced in court on Wednesday. That makes Traill the 12th man now currently on the death row inmate list in Nebraska. In a lengthy hearing, the court recounted how Traill, 54, and Bailey Boswell, his girlfriend, lured Loof to their Wilbur apartment on the night of November 15th, 2017, where she was killed and her body was mutilated. Traill showed a cold, calculated level of planning in the lead up to the 24-year-old's murder, choosing her based on certain characteristics, and relished the murder, which brought him intellectual and sexual gratification, according to the judge. The judge also suggested that Traill may have thought that no one would immediately miss Miss Loof since she lived alone in Lincoln, hours away from her family in a remote town. The court stated that these factors elevated the crime to the definition of exceptional depravity outlined in the state law. The court stated there is no reasonable doubt that this aggravated circumstances against Aubrey Traill justifies an imposition of a sentence of death. The court also noted that there weren't any statutory mitigating factors that worked in Trail's favor, but did take into account his troubled upbringing and dysfunctional family in Tennessee, as well as his time spent in and out of foster care and group homes. Traill read from a statement he prepared without involvement from his attorneys. Obviously, take a listen to this. "I won't say I'm sorry, as that would be an insult to you after what I put you through," he added, "and I won't ask for forgiveness, as I don't believe there is such a thing." Traill said that he murdered Loof after she freaked out and rejected him and Boswell, his girlfriend, as they attempt to recruit her into their crime and sex ring. He says he was willing to do anything to protect her and the couple's lifestyle. The attorneys for Mr. Traill did say that they didn't have an inkling what their client was going to say in his statement. That's always an interesting time, I assure you of that, because the attorneys were more than likely trying to do everything they could to save their client's life, and he just completely threw whatever they said completely out the window. Word of advice, listen to your attorney. They're trying to do the best job for you. Once again, another senseless tragedy that could have taken place. Now, nobody's victim shaming, but I'm telling you, if you're going to date somebody on an app, you should probably check them out. And that previous commercial with crimetalksearch.com, I'm telling you, it was dating malpractice for you not to do a background check on someone that you are going to be romantically involved in. My guess is, given Mr. Trail's lengthy criminal history, it may have sent some red flags up. Just saying. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Have you started to notice a theme on some of these? That's right. Drugs, alcohol, and maybe some potential indecent exposure. Well, please meet Kendall Mabry. That's right. She's a young woman. She's 21 years old. And she was contacted inside a Circle K store by a police officer. Well, why, you may ask? Well, she returned from the restroom without any pants or underwear inside the store. When asked what she was doing, Miss Mabry stated that she was told by another deputy that it was okay. Shockingly, Miss Mabry reportedly smelled of alcohol and her speech was slurred. Additionally, the smell of marijuana was coming from her vehicle, and Mabry's pants were found inside of the car. Now, she only lives 5 miles from the Circle K and was arrested for disorderly intoxication. Fortunately, she didn't do what most people do in this similar situation, which is run and resist arrest from the police officers. So at least she has that going for her. Now, Miss Mabry has some stiff competition like every week. You just don't think it gets any tougher, but yes, it does. So let's recap our contestants throughout the week. First, Monday, we had Texas mother Casey Garcia, who disguised herself as a 13-year-old to see how far she could get into the school, which was the middle school where her daughter attended. She apparently went to class, talked to teachers, posted on social media, and she thought it was all fun and games, but the school took it rather seriously because it's a security issue. I'm sure you can understand. Wednesday, we had Jermaine Jackson and his lover, Sharon Finley, were caught at a playground performing various sexual acts in a children's crawling tunnel. Both were drinking Four Loko and vodka, and the one stated, YOLO, you only live once. Thursday, the 27-year-old Missouri man Tanner Hutchinson was arrested on felony narcotics charges with his shirt that read, DARE, drugs are bad. That's right. You can't make this stuff up. And then obviously today, Kendall Mabry coming out of the old Circle K with her pants off. You can't make this stuff up, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Leave your comments below about all of the stories that we've talked about here today. Do you think Derek Chauvin's attorney should get a hearing to question jurors' potential biases? Do you think that Michael Avenatti deserves a break at his sentencing? And ultimately, who is the dumb criminal contestant winner of the week? The winner will be announced next week. Please watch. And hopefully, I'll be coming to you from a beautiful, warm, tropical location. Turks and Caicos, I know you can do this. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.